Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to Alaska Gold Trails. I'm your host, Jim Madonna. This is your radio show on mining in Alaska, past, present, and future. More specifically, folks, gold mining in Alaska's misty past, controversial present, and mysterious future. If you'd like to give us a call here and talk a little bit about mining in Alaska, the number is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Let's talk gold mining through the years along Alaska Gold Trails. Well, first rattle out of the box, let's do what we do every Thursday afternoon at the beginning of Alaska Gold Trails. Let's have a little contest. For all you listening out there that would like to win a crystal line geode, I'll give three crystal line geodes away on behalf of KFAR Radio and Alaskan Prospectors located at 504 College Road right here in Fairbanks. For the person who can call me up and let me know what they hear at the other end of the line, the number is, now listen, 452-7858. I want to know what kind of information is supplied at 452-7858. Give me the numbers and tell me who sponsors this, where they're located, and what they do. And while you're finding that information, we'll go on to another little topic right here. And that is a good friend of mine, Robbie Ginther, over at Tip Top Chevrolet. A lot of you know Robbie, and that Tip Top Chevrolet Buick has been in business for 32 years right here in Fairbanks, and it's been owned by three generations of Ginthers. Robbie Ginther is currently the general manager. And one point that Robbie has brought out just recently is that you've never driven anything like the 1989 full-size Chevy pickup available right now at Tip Top Chevrolet. It's the hardest working pickup with the longest regular cab in Chevrolet history. And it's got a new chassis system, a new aerodynamic shape with a new rear wheel anti-lock brake system, and Instatrack shift on the fly on the four-wheel drive. The 1989 full-size Chevy pickup. It's new, it's exciting, and it's here in Fairbanks at Tip Top Chevrolet, your Chevy Team Alaska dealer. Drop on over and take a look. And don't forget, folks, buckle up with Tip Top Chevrolet. That's Tip Top Chevrolet, 1916 South Cushman, and their phone number is 452-8211. Tell them you heard about them from Jim on Alaska Gold Trails. And we got some buttons lit up here. Let's take our first call. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim, is that the Oxford Assay with the gold and silver quotes?
That's right. Give me the gold and silver quote today.
I don't have the quotes for today.
Okay.
I think it was $3.56 for the gold.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're a little off, but I'll tell you what, call them up, get the numbers, and bring them back to me so we all know what the price of gold is. But you got that first part right, so in that case, I think you ought to drop over to Alaska Prospectors and pick up your crystalline geode, and we'll let the rest of them take care of the other information we need. How's that?
Okay, I'll get the quotes for you and get back.
Hey,
and,
what's your
name is Dave Nettleton.
Dave. Okay, thanks much, Dave.
Bye now.
Hi, you're on the air. Hello? Hello?
Well,
I guess we lost all our people. This afternoon's guest is Jim Bell from the Palace Saloon. And until we get some more lines open here, Jim, I don't know what happens to all the electronics around here. There's so many buttons that sometimes you get confused. But I want to welcome you to Alaska Gold Trails.
Thank you very much.
And I want to let the listening audience out there know that if they have any questions as we go along here, the number is 479-8255. Maybe that's some information I forgot to give them, but generally they know that. 479-TALK, 479-8255. Give us a call. And the other information on the prices of gold, silver, and platinum that you'll find at the number that I gave you earlier for the contest, which is 452-7858. We still got some crystalline geodes to give away. If you want to give us a call on that, we'd appreciate it. Jim, welcome to Alaska Gold Trails, and give us a little background on where you came from and your history.
Background, history. Okay, well, I'm originally from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, which is a town over a million now. When I was growing up, it was only 800,000. It's a German beer town, right? Milwaukee and beer, and it's a wonderful town to grow up in. We grew up in the burbs, the suburbs, as they call it. There were lots of fields and ravines to play in. It was lots of fun. And then I went to Northwestern University in Evanston, Illinois, and got a bachelor's degree in speech, starting me off on my career up here as a piano player in Alaska, and a songwriter and director of shows at the Palace Saloon and Palace Theater and Saloon, excuse me.
Oh, yes.
Right? We have a new title for the place. And I came up here in the Army, actually, Jim, in 1967. Uncle Sam sent me up here from Texas. I was having a wonderful time in Texas, and then I got orders for Alaska and thought, of course, it was the end of the world, the way some people do who are kind of forced to come up here. But the minute I sailed in over the skies of Fairbanks, I said, this is it. I love this town, and here I've been ever since.
You bet. Hey, let's take a look at these phone calls here.
Okay.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, you still looking for gold prices?
I'm still looking for gold prices.
Gold is $390.30.
Okay.
Silver is $5.87. Platinum, $555.80.
And who's the people that sponsor that?
Oxford.
And do you know where they're located?
By the Wendell Street Bridge.
You bet. 208 Wendell Street. Their phone number, or other than their hotline that you just called. What was that number again, their hotline number?
452. I can't remember.
7858.
Okay.
Right. That's their hotline number for the quotes. And their regular number is 456-3967. 456-3967. Okay, I've got, now, what is your first name?
Pat.
Pat, why don't you just drop over at Alaskan Prospectors and pick up your crystalline geode.
Okay, thank you.
And thanks so much for participating.
Okay.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, are you still...
You bet. You bet I am.
Okay, it was Oxford?
That's right. I'll tell you what. Do you know any of the products that Oxford sells?
No, I don't.
Well, you know, let me tell you. They are known as the precious metals people here in Fairbanks, Alaska. And in addition to their number one priority there, which is buying the gold from the miners, they also have gift selections of gold coins, silver coins, and of course gold nuggets available to the public. And they've got a neat little display in over there. So if you're interested in that something new and something unique for that someone special, drop in over at Oxford Assaying and Refining at 208 Wendell Street. And look around there. You might just find that that's the proper place to find that gift for that somebody special. And if you'll just give me your name, you can drop over to Alaskan Prospectors and pick up your crystalline geode.
My name's Holly.
Holly?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Holly, do you know where Alaskan Prospectors is?
It's at 208 Wendell Street.
No, that's...
Oh, wait a minute. Alaskan Prospectors is on College Road.
You got it, Holly. 504 College Road. So drop in over there and pick
up... Do you know what their hours are?
Sure. It's from 9:30 to 5 p.m. daily now. So they're back on summer hours.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks so much for participating.
Okay.
Jim, we're back on the line here. And
we were coming up to Alaska, and you said, by golly, it wasn't the end of the earth after all.
Absolutely not. It was the beginning of everything. You know, Alaska is the land of opportunity, right? And it certainly was for me. I walked into the palace as a GI, and I met my wife right there. She was one of the original Can-Can girls at the Palace Saloon at that time in 1967, which was a terrific year. That was the year we were celebrating the centennial.
You mean to say you focused in on one of the Can-Can girls?
Absolutely. It was easy, those big blue eyes.
Yes. Love at first sight?
Yes.
Huh? Mm-hmm.
Although I left for a while and then came back, and then we got together.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't get her out of your mind.
That's right.
Where did you go?
I went back to Chicago, which was a city that I had, of course, had some contact with, having been in college at Northwestern in Evanston, Illinois. And Chicago is a great town, and I was in advertising there. I was a copywriter for Leo Burnett Advertising Agency, and I wrote copy for Kellogg Cereals and Shenley Liquors, Nestle chocolate, Oldsmobile, you name it. The Jolly Green Giant, Charlie Tuna. It was fun, but it just wasn't me, and I just decided at one point that I was going back to Alaska. And so I did.
That's a remarkable career that you left. Yeah, big time advertising for all the major products that way.
It was so boring, though, compared to Alaska, where almost anything can happen at any time, right?
Does almost anything happen at the Palace Saloon?
Anything happens at the Palace Saloon, yes, nightly.
Tell me about the Palace
Saloon.
Virtually
everything has happened there, I guess, short of the birth of a baby, although I think we've gotten as far as boiling water at some point.
That's
but
right.
No, it's a fun place, and it's a family-oriented place. It's a place where entertainment and lighthearted comedy are the bywords, and it's been going on since 1967. I'm amazed at the number of people in town who I talk to and say, well, I've never been out there to Alaska land, you know, and I can't imagine it. It's a 40-acre park completely devoted to not only the tourist industry, but to the citizens of Alaska, and it's available for them to take advantage of, and only one of the many attractions at Alaska land is the Palace Theater and Saloon, so I hope everybody comes out and sees what we've got going out there.
One of the new pieces of mining equipment that they put into place, I said it was new. It was new to Alaska land, but it's not new to Alaska. It was a booming system that they put out in the pond, let's see if I can get this right, probably to the west of the riverboat there.
Oh, great.
The booming system, which was an old-time piece of mining equipment, and I think that the old-time miners who have done any booming at all would go out there and take a look at it. They actually have the water flow and show how a limited amount of water can be used to wash placer gold, and through a sluicing system. And while I'm talking about sluicing system, I got to tell you, Jim, just a minute, I got to tell you about one of my favorite sponsors here,
That's
Hector's Welding, and they're located out at 13 Mile Richardson Highway. And I don't know if I can do this without any notes or at all, but Hector's does a lot of things out there. But one of the most important things that about Hector's in sluicing and how gold recovery techniques have progressed over the years is when we take a look at that booming system out at Alaska land, and then we go out and take a look at the new equipment that Hector's produces. They produce absolutely the finest gold recovery equipment in the world in terms of sluicing systems. They not only produce sluice boxes, but they produce screening plants and other gold mine, placer mining equipment as well. In fact, placer mining equipment is their specialty. And one thing about Hector's is that, you know, Jim, every creek has a little bit different characteristic about it. The gravels are a little different. The gold in the creek is a little different. Some creeks have fine gold. Some have coarse gold. Some creeks have round rocks. Some creeks have flat rocks. And because of this, it's necessary to build a riffle system to accommodate the different kinds of products that you're attempting to retrieve or to eliminate through the processing plant. And Hector's takes a good look at those kinds of things, and they install the types of riffle systems suitable to the particular placer miner's needs on any creek. And I'd like to say one other thing about Hector's. I'm off on a tangent here, I guess, a little bit, Jim, but you know, it's nice to have a manufacturer right here in the interior of Alaska that is producing a product that is useful to Alaskans, as well as I understand some Canadians who are also using the Hector sluicing system.
Oh, I think that's wonderful. I mean, I'm also glad to hear that the mining village at Alaska Land is being developed further, because I think that is an attraction for people from the lower 48, and it certainly is fun to go there and see that wonderful, I don't know what you call it, but that thing, you know, just sluicing water out there in the pond, and see all the old machinery that the early miners used. You know, it's fascinating, and I think it is interesting for people from the lower 48.
Well, one thing that might be interesting to a lot of the old timers is to take them out, for them to take their friends out, and they could kind of nostalgically reminisce about the old days and tell their friends about how they used some of that older equipment that's out there.
Absolutely.
Now, it's all there. You know, I sometimes go out there and with my friends that come from out of state, and I go through the booming system and the water flow systems and the stamp mills and the ore buckets and the different kinds of backhoes and things that they've got out there, and tell them how they were used in the mining of Alaska.
Yeah, I'm amazed that, you know, I've heard people say, well, there's nothing going on in Alaska land. I think there was an article in the paper where one gentleman who was leaving his business here in Alaska said, well, there's nothing in Alaska land, nothing's happening. It's just patently untrue. In fact, you know, the Harding car has just been restored through Jack Williams and the Historical Commission, and the Nenana riverboat, which is the last wooden stern wheeler, is probably imminently going to be declared a national historical landmark. And so exciting things are happening in Alaska land. There's all kinds of things going on. The shops are thriving. The Palace Saloon is jumping. The Alaska Salmon Bake is, you know, feeding lots of people with a delicious meal every night. So Alaska land is definitely a summer place, and hopefully going to be a winter place in years to come.
What do you see when you speak about the winter place, Jim? How do you see that developing?
I'd love to see Alaska land become a winter fun place to be, with parts of the Ice Festival being out there already in the parking lot. They've had the snow sculpture out there, and I can just imagine a wonderful skating rink out there with music being plugged in, and then people coming in maybe to the palace for a hot toddy or hot chocolate, and perhaps cross-country ski trails. There's all kinds of possibilities for wintertime fun at Alaska, and year-round fun. Really.
There's some real thoughts there that could be initiated.
Oh, sure.
I was aware of the snow carvings this year.
Mm-hmm.
And as you drove around town, the snow carvings and the ice carvings weren't just restricted to the Golden Heart Park area. So you saw over.
Yes,
all over.
I think that's neat. I mean, it becomes a real community thing. And we went down one day at 11 o'clock at night and viewed the ice carvings down in the river, and it was thrilling. There were lots of people down there walking on the river and enjoying it, and they were all lit up. It was terrific.
Well, for people who missed it, they really missed the sight.
They sure did.
They sure did. A friend of mine took photographs of all those, and he was a professional photographer, and some of the photographs he has are just outstanding.
I'll bet.
You know, another thing that we've talked about, and granted, the festival is a short period of time in Alaska winter, but the thing is becoming international, and I think it will perhaps grow to some outstanding level.
Hopefully.
It could, and we could see a lot of growth or a lot of people coming in and visiting Alaska during that period of time. And it is a nice period of time. You think about it, or think about this particular season. It was right at kind of spring was trying to get started.
It's
was beautiful.
Harbinger of spring, you bet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we kind of got ahead of ourselves on this Alaska land thing. We only got you up to Alaska to meet your wife. And you were up in the service for how many years, didn't you?
I was here for 2 years at Bassett Army Hospital.
Uh-huh. And
Fort Wainwright,
what did you do there?
I was a clerk for the colonels who ran the hospital.
I see.
It was really good duty. I made coffee and typed, and it was terrific. I had a wonderful time.
tough duty.
Yeah. and then I played nights at the Palace Saloon. Played the rinky-tink piano, and why I ever left, I'll never know, because now I'm hooked on Alaska and Fairbanks, of course.
Sure. You've been in Fairbanks, what?
About 22 years? What is that?
20?
Something like
1967? Something?
Yeah. To 89, so. This is home sweet home now.
Yeah? You're pretty familiar with the place?
Well, I think so, although I didn't know where Washington Plaza was. I took the wrong cutoff. I can never figure out which one you take off of where to get where, you know. But I got here eventually.
Yeah, it's a big town, Jim. You got to be careful.
Yeah,
hey, I want to do a few messages here.
Okay.
A complete look at state and local news is yours at 10:30 and 11:30 every morning during Problem Corner. Brought to you in Fairbanks by Alliance Bank.
It's spring cleanup time at Universal Car Wash Audio and Accessories. The folks at Universal Car Wash say thank you, Fairbanks, for making their new business a splashing success. Bring in your car or truck now and find out how you'll get every sixth car wash free. Pick up a coupon which entitles you to $5 off your next car wash. Put pride in your ride with a spring cleanup at Universal Car Wash Audio and Accessories, 707 Old Steese Highway in the Solar Video Building across from Jeffries. Call 456-2720 for your appointment.
Folks, I want to give you a brief message from my friends out at Gabe's Truck and Auto. Whether it's an auto, a light truck, motorhome, or a big rig for the best service in town, it's Gabe's Truck and Auto Repair. And that's not just my opinion, folks. Customers for years have been saying the same thing. In fact, the Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce once gave Gabe's Truck and Auto their prestigious Raving About Fairbanks Award for providing the best vehicle service in Fairbanks. Gabe's has two large shops and eight mechanics on hand to serve you. And you know, folks, with that much attention, you're going to get fast, courteous service and have your vehicle back in a hurry. In addition to engine and general vehicle maintenance, Gabe's can also repair automatic transmissions, realign front ends, and repair mount and balance tires. New and rebuilt engines come with a 12-month or 12,000-mile warranty. As you can see, Gabe's is a one-stop service center. And you know, what about that IM inspection? If I'm not mistaken, Gabe's is the place where they started or initiated the no-pass, no-pay policy. That's right. If you don't pass, you don't pay it, Gabe's. And don't forget Gabe's towing service. He has three wreckers available 24 hours a day and can handle any size rig. Getting a tow is as easy as calling 456-6156. And as a matter of fact, you might want to write that number down and put it in your glove box in case of an emergency. That's 456-6156. You can turn your rag into a ride at Gabe's Truck and Auto, located off Van Horn Road near Metro Field. Specifically, folks, that's 2058 Donald Road. Or give them a call at 456-6156. And once again, I'd like to let the folks know that we're here on Alaska Gold Trails with Jim Bell. And if you'd like to talk to Jim Bell, give us a call right here. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Jim.
Hi. You got a question for Jim?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Sure.
Well, we're still on 1967. 1967 was kind of an interesting year for a lot of us around here. I just wondered what date you arrived.
I'm not sure of the exact date, but I know that I arrived 3 days before that earthquake that we had, and we had to evacuate the hospital. We had to evacuate Vast Army Hospital. And
so you enjoyed the flood too, then? Did you?
Oh, the flood was wonderful. Oh. Yes, I hauled a lot of sandbags. Yeah, it was
okay.
Fascinating.
I'm glad you didn't miss it. That's
no, I didn't miss that, and I wouldn't have missed it for anything.
All right.
Thanks for the call. So you went through all those experiences, did you, Jim?
Yeah, it was pretty fascinating to come to a completely brand new territory, as it were, and then be subjected to first an earthquake, and then a couple of weeks later, I think actually that earthquake was in June or July, and then in August, of course, it was August 14th, I think, that we, or 11th, that the flood came, and I was out at the base, and it really was fascinating because the hospital was slightly higher than most of the surrounding buildings. So a lot of canoes and rowboats were actually rowing up to the hospital and depositing sick children and pregnant women and what have you. And helicopters were flying in to the one high spot landing. And then we did this cross-hand carry business where we carried people into the hospital through chest-deep water. You know, people say, oh, that's impossible. But it wasn't. It actually happened. And it was fascinating. You know, the elevators gave out in the hospital, and the maternity ward was then on the fourth floor, I believe. And we had to carry a lot of ladies who were then, every lady within 300 miles was delivering at that time, of course, because of the stress factor or something. And so,
this sounds to me like you were doing a little bit more than just making coffee and typing.
Well, everybody
about
did.
The excitement.
Everybody did during the flood. You know, everybody just pitched in and helped everybody else because that was the name of the game at
you
that
bet.
Point. You know?
I think it still would be, wouldn't it?
I think so. I think Alaska still has that. I certainly hope so.
Aside from that, what other characteristics did Fairbanks have when you first came? What was the most, what were you taken by in Fairbanks? And
oh, gosh, I think it was, you know, everybody mentions the people, and that certainly was one thing. People were instantly friendly to an outsider and to a beginner here in town, and that was attractive. And then just the kind of freedom that you get in Alaska that you don't get everywhere else. And I think that still is attracting people up here, despite the fact that we are growing and becoming bigger and changing. I think that there's a lot to be said for Alaska, and the last frontier is not a cliche. As far as I'm concerned, it still exists.
It's not. You need but to go outside once and you'll realize
it. Oh, then you realize it. Just get on a freeway.
Yeah. Jim, did you have any exciting experiences while you were at the hospital other than having to carry ladies, pregnant ladies up four stories?
Well, the hospital was always fascinating because there was always something going on. And, you know, it was, I was at the headquarters there where the, we had an administrative colonel who ran the sort of executive portion of the hospital and then a medical colonel. And I was clerk to both of those colonels. And so it was fascinating because everything that came through the hospital started there. It was sort of the heartbeat of the hospital. And at least I kept up on what was going on. And as I say, every day it changed. And no, I don't regret that experience one bit.
Mm-hmm. Did you, by any chance, know some of the old-timers here in Fairbanks that were around during those days?
I met quite a few of them, actually, that I think some of them are actually forgotten now, and it's mm-hmm. too bad. But I met a lot of characters in the early days when down on First Avenue there were a number of saloons that were interesting to me because I am a piano player. And one of them was Blue Monday, who was a wonderful old ragtime musician, and she befriended me and was very kind to me in the early days when I was here in Alaska. And they even had some can-can girls down there in 1967, speaking of the can-can, which I think has become associated with Alaska, although it originated in Paris. But yeah, there were lots of fascinating characters in those days, and I was kind of sorry to see some of that change downtown.
Tell us a little bit about Blue Monday.
Oh, she was a wonderful entertainer and a wonderful ragtime musician, and also had a heart, just a golden heart, if you will, a big heart, and took in everybody from, you know, all walks of life, and gave them a good time, and ran a wonderful saloon down there. It was terrific. She was sort of, if you will, the last of the Red Hot Mamas. Wore feathers and a feather boa every night.
Is that right?
She was terrific. She let me play on her breaks, and I waited on tables, and I think I got $12 a night at that point or something, and I was delighted to have the job.
Where did she, how did she happen to come to Fairbanks?
I'm not exactly sure, but I know that she was from Idaho, and had somehow wangled her way up here, and then later on in her life, in her 60s, as a matter of fact, she went out to Bethel and taught school. She went out to Idaho and got her teacher's degree at a very late age in her life, and then went out to Bethel and taught school for several years, and then came back to Fairbanks. But she was a very dynamic lady and
very dedicated to Alaska.
Oh, absolutely,
say, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And how old was she when you met her?
I think she was probably 60 when I met her.
I mm-hmm. see. And
I knew her for years.
Was that your first engagement playing piano in
downtown? It was it was the French Quarter, but before that it was the Club Bonanza. That's what it was called.
Yeah.
When Blue was down there. I don't know how many people can remember that, or who hung out down there.
Yeah.
When I did. Downtown has changed a great deal.
I remember back in 1949, 1950, I used to shine shoes there in front of the bar.
Whoa.
So big money. Speak of
but you're a hometown boy, aren't you? I mean,
well, off and on.
You can remember the history further back than Chichaco's.
I never heard of the piano player that you just described.
You didn't?
No.
You didn't
but,
hang out in the right
well,
place?
That's right. But you have to remember, I was only 9 years old.
You're forgiven. You wouldn't have been let in there.
Although, they'd come out of the bar, you know, the bartenders would always come out of the bar, and they'd put their shoes on the sidewalk for me.
Uh-huh.
So I could dress them up for them, and then
right.
I'd put them back inside the bar door.
Yeah.
And that was kind of fun.
You were on your way to corruption.
Oh,
anyway.
That's right. There. And the Daily News Binder at nighttime, of course, I had to collect
great.
A few coins there. And that's when they were on Second Avenue. And
uh-huh.
Anyway, what other? Is there anybody else like?
Well, there was an old guy named Whitey, and Whitey would come in and he would play a fake trombone to "When You Are a Tulip," and he kind of sang in a funny voice like that, and he played an air trombone, as it were. And, mm-hmm. and Whitey had been around for a great many years, and I heard that in his latter years, he would just walk out of his cabin in his birthday suit and put up the Alaskan flag every morning at about 5:30 in the morning, and it became a kind of ritual for some of the night people who hung around downtown in those days to go down to Whitey's place at 5:30 and watch him just walk starkers out of his cabin and just put up that Alaska flag up on his flagpole and salute it and go back inside. So
I want to let the listening audience know that we're here on Alaska Gold Trails. Jim Bell's the guest today. If you'd like to give us a call, the number is 479-8255. That's 479-TALK. And with that...
Each morning during Problem Corner, hear all the latest developments live from Valdez, Monday through Saturday with Pat Lynn and Kerry Anderson. They'll bring you up to date on the latest inside details on the oil spill, what's being done and how. The Valdez Report, every morning during Problem Corner in the 10 o'clock hour. It's brought to you live in the public interest by Rothmeyer Optical in West Valley Plaza and by Jean's Chrysler Plymouth Dodge at 1804 South Cushman.
Hey, I'm looking at the back of the telephone book here, and what do I see but a beautiful ad by B&L Pawn Shop. You know where they're located? They're located at the corner of Cushman and Gaffney. That's 605 Gaffney. And what do they do? Well, they've got dynamite deals. If you need a grub stake, they'll take things or consignment goods, and if they don't sell them, they won't pay. You don't need to pay them a commission. They loan, they buy, they sell, they trade, they deal. They've got cameras, stereos, gold, TV, video, jewelry, tools, guitars, guns, and car stereo. And they also have Killer. You know who Killer is. She's the gal that stands behind the counter down there. And if you tell Killer that you heard of their ad right here from Jim Madonna on Alaska Gold Trails, she'll sweeten any deal that you make with her. How's that? You want to learn more about B&L Pawn Shop? Give them a call at 452-3063. That's 452-3063.
Problem. You're young. You've never bought a car before. No credit. Solution. Seekins. Ford Lincoln Mercury.
Hey, I remember when I was young and first getting started, it was tough to get financing for a new car. No major credit. Nobody wanted to finance me. Well, now we have a way for the first-time new car or truck buyer to establish credit for the rest of their lives and drive home in one of the best-built American vehicles made today and possibly do it with no down payment out of their own pocket. The cars are here. The program is simple. If it sounds good to you, what are you waiting for? See us right now, right here, at Seekins Ford Lincoln Mercury. See you here.
You're listening to Alaska Gold Trails. Our guest today is Jim Bell. If you've got a question of Jim, the number is 479-TALK, 479-8255. Give us a call. Jim, where were we? We were downtown on 2nd Avenue.
Downtown, I guess.
Yeah. Well, there was, well, what went on, was 4th Avenue still alive when you came?
No, it wasn't.
It had died.
Unfortunately, I never got to check that out. But, however, you know, then, of course, there was the pipeline days, and that brought an influx of ladies of the night, which, of course, is something that happens wherever gold is discovered. Isn't that true, Jim?
That's true, and it sure did happen in Fairbanks, Alaska, didn't it?
Absolutely.
That was one
different
of the
kind of gold.
Well, it's still the same story.
Right.
Boy, it was a frontier town. You know, Jim, there was two periods there. There was the, well, I guess the mid-70s up until about the late 70s there, in which we had an influx of people, and that was the oil pipeline days. Mm-hmm. And it was a wild, exciting town in Fairbanks at that time. You know, I saw things happen in Fairbanks that I couldn't believe, but it was all frontiersy. It was real mm-hmm. frontiersy. And the most probably some of the most interesting things is there were the food shelves at Safeway were running bare. You know, there was no place to sleep. Small sleeping cots and wouldn't be a respectable place to sleep would go for $20 a night. Wages were astronomical, and there was a lot of that kind of stress and tension in town looking for these places to live, along with the downtown area. I tried to stay away from that area as much as possible because it was there were a lot of people down there. They were all going in different directions, and but there was occasion when I happened to get down there, and I saw some activities going on that were reminiscent of what I might expect in a gold rush town like the 1898s, or maybe when Fairbanks had its heyday. You know, Felix Pedro discovered the first gold here in Fairbanks in 1902, and I know you know that very well.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until 1907 that Fairbanks really started booming big.
And got on the map.
And got on the map. Anyway, you probably have a lot of experience with looking into the frontier history and coupling it with the activities going on at the Palace Saloon, don't you?
Well, it is kind of fascinating. We, of course, have taken a humorous look at the mining industry, and in a very very cursory way, really. We have our character, Felix Pedro, of course, and he discovers gold. However, he doesn't suffer at all. I mean, he He perhaps suffers with the mosquitoes for maybe 10 seconds musically, and then he just sits down on a gold nugget the size of, oh, a good baked potato, and his future is made. So really, our look at the mining industry is just strictly for fun. And he sings a song called I Gotta De Gold in an Italian accent, because, in fact, he was of Italian distraction extraction. One of those words.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's the kind of a point of view we take on the mining industry out at the Palace Saloon, is just for fun, so that after you've struck gold out on your claim and you come to town to get your bath and cash in your nuggets for real greenies, then you can bring them to the Palace Saloon and take a lighthearted look at what's going on there.
What you're saying is that the miners go out with a Hector sluice box, they mine the gold, they take the gold into Oxford assaying and refining, and then you go over and listen
right.
to Jim Bell at the Palace Saloon and have a good time, kick up your heels, and get ready to hit the field again. Is
you
that it?
Got it. That's it.
Huh? That's yeah. the vicious cycle.
That's the vicious circle.
And you know, that's precisely what happened during the pipeline. The next step, Jim, was the price of gold spiraled up to $850 an ounce in 79, I believe it was. And we had an influx of people looking at placer mining here. And there was a mini gold rush into the town. So that helped Fairbanks once again have a boom. And believe me, the excitement over the thought of striking it rich in a placer mining operation was phenomenal here in town.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
I'm sure a lot of the people made their way with their pokes over to the Palace Saloon.
Well, let's hope so.
Yeah. Let me just take care of one of these messages
okay.
here.
What's the shortest distance between two points? Chris Noakes at Travel Center. Chris is just one of our sports specialists. If you want to be at the Super Bowl, the World Series, or the Masters, talk to Chris. Talk to Travel Center.
Make your travel plans now for an unforgettable summer vacation in Europe. It's a great value this summer, but the best seats sell out fast. For all the details to any European destination, talk to Travel Center.
Folks, let me tell you a little bit about Days Inn, located downtown Anchorage, Alaska. If you'd, whether you're traveling for business or pleasure, at the Days Inn Anchorage, you can expect personal service, quality accommodations, and comfort and affordable rates. The downtown Anchorage Days Inn Hotel offers 116 rooms, each decorated with furnishings and amenities you expect from the expensive lodging chain. With its convenient location, quality accommodations, and friendly staff, there is no better lodging choice in the city. If you'd like to make reservations, you can call their toll-free number at 1-800-325-2525. Or if you're in Anchorage, how about 276-7226? Once again, their toll-free number, 1-800-325-2525. And, Jim, it just so happens that we have a call here for you.
Huh?
Hi, you're on the air.
Ah, Jim?
Yes.
I may be one of your biggest fans since you hit the country.
Is that right?
Yeah, Bob Turnbull.
Well, that's great.
Did you show 1,000 times? And 1,000 more wouldn't be enough.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you. I appreciate it.
No, when you were talking about Alaska land, by golly, there's attraction out there. We got a stampede show in the museum, and that's had.
You bet you do. And it's very well worth seeing. I think that I have some relatives coming up, Bob, and I'm going to send them right over there to see your show.
There's something else. The pioneers during the winter got onto a dredge up country that's a lot smaller version than your great big huge gold dredges, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And down at Leo Slowfell, I believe it was, at one of our meetings, got the hooks into it some way, and it could be transported to town on a low boy, and we could get it out there in the park.
Well, let's bring it in.
We can find a spot for around Gold Mine Valley, you see.
Yeah.
But the pioneers being what they are, just like they backed the, with some pretty big bucks, too, the restoration of the Arctic, and of course now they're backing the boat through Jack Williams' historical foundation.
Right.
Well, the pioneers, by golly, here's how the way they go. They want that to restore that dredge to the extent that it could be a working one in a sense, would show your tourists how they those operated like that.
Well, I think it's terrific.
Yeah, that's the way they like to go. It's just a matter of the semantics of where to get it in over there. You have Goldmine Valley there already, you know.
I know it, and it's a terrific place to visit.
I hope they follow through on it.
All right, keep it going.
Oh, you bet.
Light
it's good to hear you on the air.
Well, thank you. It's nice of you to call.
See you at the fact, Jim.
Okay, Bob.
Yeah.
Hello. Hello, you're on the air.
Jim, they just threw a whole new line, a new set of phone lines
Isn't
in on
right?
me, and
I think
they
we
said
lost
we
them,
should answer the phone, and I didn't even see it here.
And there's nobody there. It's the story.
No, yeah, right. Sing into an empty room.
Right.
Well, let's see. We got you into the Palace Saloon. How are you affiliated with the Palace Saloon? I remember you playing there years ago. How long have you been there?
This is my 20th season at the Palace.
20th season?
Yes. I've taken a few off here and there. As I said, I went to Chicago, and then for a while I ran a theatrical company here in town with Lee Salisbury and Walter Ensign from the university called the Laughingstock Company Limited over at the Fairbanks Inn. And we did musical melodramas there. But essentially, my career has been at the Palace Theater and Saloon, and this will be my 20th season here. And I'm pulling out all the stops this year because, as I say, I have relatives coming up, and I'm doing a kind of a nostalgic show, going back and taking a look at tunes from the past that we've done at the Palace, all original material, and also, of course, some brand new stuff for this year. So we're excited about the 89 season.
Well, you were stimulated by your relatives coming up, I think.
I think that did it. Yeah. You know, yeah. I have to put my best foot forward for the family. Right?
Tell us how it evolved from the time you first started. You started out as a piano player?
Right, and when I started there, they had a little show, actually. It was about 10 minutes, and it had been thrown together by the bartenders and the can-can girls, and it was lots of fun. It was a little World War One review, and they did over there, and waved the flag and stuff, and it was great fun, and it just evolved out of that very slowly through different changes of management at the Palace. And with each change of management at the Palace, there was more encouragement for doing longer and longer shows. And
mm-hmm.
Now I'm working for Mr. Rick Winther, who also owns the Salmon Bake at Alaska Land, and it's just thrilling because he's solidly behind doing these shows for the public and for mm-hmm. our visitors from the lower 48. We're doing Good as Gold, which is, it's got the word gold in it, so your ears should be just twinkling
sure,
over there.
Sure.
And this is our fourth season doing that. It's a good show, not only for the visitor, but for locals as well. We take a humorous look at what's been going on in Fairbanks over the last 80 years. And it was written by Richard Ussery, Melinda Mattson, and Tim Ames, an original script, and then I contributed the musical score. And it's a delightful, it runs 59 minutes, so you can't possibly, get twitchy in your seat there. It's just 59 minutes long, and it's a good, fun, fast-paced show about Fairbanks and its environs, and all the way from the gold rush days right up to the present time.
Does it take into account all the problems that are, it's probably humor oriented.
Right. We try to hit not only the problems, but just some of the quirky things.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
The way we dress up here, the way we act, how we spend our leisure time and so on, and I think that people get a big boot out of seeing themselves reflected in the mirror once,
uh-huh.
you know.
Tell us about the tourists that come and see you.
Oh, they're wonderful. I mean, you can't imagine how much fun they are. I mean, they come from the lower 48, and they're beleaguered and they're harassed everywhere they go, and we try to provide at least 1 hour when they don't have to think about the next deadline and the next place they have to go, but just to sit back and relax and eat some popcorn, maybe drink a beer or have a cup of coffee, whatever, and watch the show. And it's lighthearted family entertainment, and we make sure that they get to their next destination on time. So, the tourists are wonderful, and we rely on them, of course, for a lot of our revenue.
Uh-huh.
We're looking forward to a lot more traffic this year. Everybody says, oh, what about this terrible oil spill? And of course, it is a tragedy in Alaska, but I don't think that it's going to diminish the tourist trade this summer.
Well, we're hoping that we have just as good a turnout this year as we've had in past years. The fact is, I think our visitor center is doing a marvelous job in attracting
sure
people to the interior of Alaska
mm-hmm.
and to Fairbanks.
Yeah, the Fairbanks Convention Visitors Bureau is encouraging year-round tourism in Alaska, and I think there's some real lively possibilities there.
I think I met some people at the Chamber of Commerce who were trying to initiate like the Ice Festival and other kinds of activities. Mm-hmm. I want to try this phone line one more time.
Okay, let's
and if
try
it, if it works, we're in.
Hello, you're on the air.
There's something, Jim, that I don't know.
Might have been Bob again, and you gave up.
Well, it's just that I've got two sets of panels here. This left panel never works for me. But at any rate, if anybody'd like to call here, the number is 479-8255. And with that number, you'll get to the right panel. So,
have we got time here to get in a little plug about when we're opening?
Oh, you bet. Let's talk about that.
Oh, great. We've got our grand opening out at the Palace Theater and Saloon Friday and Saturday, May 26th and 27th. With Good as Gold at 7:30 and 9 p.m., and then the after-hours show, brand new for 1989, at 10:30 p.m., although we do have half-price sneak previews.
Oh, tell us about
that. Oh, you get to sneak in, as it were, on tiptoe and check out what we're doing this summer, and that's Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, May 23rd, 24th, and 25th, half-price at the Palace to see the shows. And then, coincidentally, the Salmon Bake is opening Tuesday, May 23rd through Sunday, May 28th. The first six nights is just $6.95 for the Salmon Bake, and that's a wonderful deal and a absolutely terrific meal served outdoors, ribs and halibut and steaks and all the accoutrements that go with that, and you just can't beat it, so you can make a whole evening out of it. You could go to the Alaska Salmon Bake and have dinner and then come over to the Palace Theater and Saloon and check out our action this summer. We'd love to see you.
Well, look, I'm sure there's a lot of people that are interested in the activities that are going on over there. Tell us a little bit about some of the other shops. Do they have gift shops?
Fantastic gift shops. Are you kidding? They've got clothing stores and, you know, the kind of stuff that the tourists like to pick up as they cruise around through a place like Alaskaland. There are probably, I don't know, I'm not totally up on the statistics, but there have to be 20 shops out there at least.
Uh-huh.
Places where you can eat, and we have benches where you can rest your feet, and it's really a kind of a delightful little walk through Gold Rush Town, although I'm not thrilled about the color they painted some of the old-time cabins. I call them bubblegum colors because they were not turquoise and hot pink in the old days, and I'd like to see that redone. But basically, Alaskaland, and I heard this recently, is cleaner and more lively and better kept up than it's been in many years. And so, as I say, with the Mining Valley and the Salmon Bake and the Harding Car, the Nenana Riverboat, the park with the swings for the kids and all the shops open, you just can't miss. I mean, it's a wonderful deal, and it's a terrific thing for local people to come and visit and take their families.
Jim, once again, when is the Palace opening?
May 26th and 27th, our grand opening weekend.
Jim, I want to thank you for joining me on Alaska Gold Trails today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for inviting me, Jim.
It's been a pleasure. Once again, folks, time slipped away on us. I want to thank our guest today, Jim Bell, for sharing the time. I also want to thank you, the listening audience, for taking part in the program. Next week's guest will be Harold Starkle. It's been fun. And I want you to know that this is Jim Madonna on Alaska Gold Trails. Until next week, folks, happy prospecting. Listening to KFAR Radio 660 on your radio dial right here in Fairbanks, Alaska.
From from ABC News, I'm Doug Limerick. House Speaker Jim Wright has read a statement to reporters regarding reports that the House Ethics Committee has found that Wright violated House rules. He says he's innocent.
Certainly under no circumstances would I knowingly or intentionally violate any of its rules. And I'm convinced that I can demonstrate that to the satisfaction of the committee or of any other reasonable person.
And Speaker Wright says he's anxious to meet with the Ethics Committee as soon as possible so he can answer the charges against him. The committee's report is due out next week. Some Democrats have come to Jim Wright's defense. This is his fellow Texan, Congressman Jack Brooks.
He's not wounded. He's not hurt. He's just cut a little, but he ain't hurt. You can still run. You get a few cuts. When you're a fighter, you get bruises. You get hit in the eye. You get a black eye. You get a broken nose. It doesn't mean you don't win the fight and stomp them to death.
Texas Democrat Jack Brooks, who calls the committee's findings hokum. A short while after meeting with reporters, Speaker Jim Wright returned to the House for a vote there on a Contra aid package, $50 million worth of non-lethal aid. The Speaker read the tally.
On this vote, the yeas are 309, the nays are 110, and the bill is passed.
The Senate's still debating that Contra aid bill, but passage there is expected. More news after this.
Here's why experienced drivers feel so much better with State Farm. When you're into your 50s or 60s, you've been driving long enough and been in enough tough spots to know just what you want from a car insurance company. You want an agent who's there to give you plenty of personal service. You want claims people who handle things fast and fair. You want a sense of security. That's why you came to State Farm, and that's why you're going to stay.
And like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
It's big, really big. It's Levi's Week at Sears. The brand is hot, the style's cool. Stonewash, pre-wash, whitewash, exciting Levi's shirts, Dockers, jackets, and more. All at Sears, everyday low prices. So you don't have to wait for a sale to look tall in the saddle. Rustle up one of America's favorite brands at America's favorite store during Levi's Week at Sears.
Your money's worth and a whole lot more.
Another development in that bizarre story from Matamoros, Mexico. One of the suspected members of the drug-smuggling satanic cult was apparently taken to the ranch where 12 mutilated bodies have already been found. Here's ABC's Jim Ryan in Matamoros.
What has been said is that one of the prisoners was taken out. His handcuffs were taken off. He was given a shovel and told to dig.
And he dug up another body. So that makes 13 victims of the cult, and more bodies are expected. A major manhunt is on for the suspected leader of the cult, Adolfo de Jesus Constanza, who is a Cuban-American. Residents of the Miami neighborhood where he grew up say his family practiced a form of voodoo which condones animal sacrifices. The Oliver North Iran Contra trial is in its final stages. Here's ABC's Herbert Kaplow.
The fate of Oliver North probably will go to the jurors a week from now, their job to decide his guilt or innocence of such charges as lying to Congress, destroying government documents, and accepting illegal gratuities. Tomorrow, the prosecution's expected to present a few more witnesses, which would just about conclude the taking of testimony. Probably Tuesday, John Kecker for the prosecution, Brendan Sullivan for the defense, will make their summations. Then the judge instructs the jury, and about Thursday, the matter goes to the 12 jurors tried and true. Herbert Kaplow, ABC News, Washington.
It was one of the bloodiest incidents yet in the Palestinian...